This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and welcome back. This is Address Unknown, and we are on episode number 18. We're talking about Cambodia, Songkran, and a couple of days we had in Bangkok, Thailand. So here we go. Thanks again for listening to another episode. As we said, we are Address Unknown. This is the 18th trip around the podcast table. Okay. So as we said, we're getting into Cambodia here. After our 5 weeks we spent in Vietnam, we flew from Hanoi direct to Siem Reap, Cambodia. There is a new airport in Siem Reap that was built just before COVID by the Chinese government, as well as a road that connects the airport to the city of Siem Reap. The airport's huge, it's modern, and of course it's empty.
Empty. There's so many stores, so many restaurants, and yet empty.
So it now takes an hour's drive to get into the city, which for us was an experience in itself.
Yeah, the previous airport was much closer to the city, and all the hotels would offer you free tuk-tuk rides. But now, if you were to take a tuk-tuk from the airport into town, I mean, my God, it'd take you an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, then you'd have to endure the experience of like wind blowing on both sides for an hour.
For that long.
Yeah, yeah. At any rate, we were on the drive to our hotel, which was the Residence Indochine Angkor. On our way, the driver had informed us that the next day was going to be the start of Songkran. Now, we knew this would be happening somewhere in Asia, but we had not been following the calendar closely enough to figure out that Songkran was going to be starting very soon in Siem Reap. Songkran, the holiday, celebrates the start of the rainy season or the monsoon season. So it's like an end to the drought. It's very celebratory. And
it's like a New Year's of sorts for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, when I was living in Thailand, it happened in April. I mean, I wasn't referencing this 20 years later, but it did happen in the month of April. I had no clue it also happened now in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. We got to the hotel, it was after dark, but we decided let's take a tuk-tuk into town.
We're hungry.
Yeah, we're hungry, we're starving. We head to the most famous street in all of Siem Reap, which is Pub Street. This is an area packed full of restaurants, bars, clubs, you name it. Vendors, hawkers, all those things. Because it was a holiday, most of the restaurants outside of this area were closed, so we were sort of funneled into Pub Street to eat that evening. Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing is that the population of Siem Reap swells during Songkran because all of the people from outside the major cities of Phnom Penh also come in to celebrate this holiday. It was time to celebrate.
It was. And you could feel the excitement in the air. And, you know, there were things I remember seeing that, like, we didn't understand. Like, people were selling supplies everywhere, namely water guns and baby powder, and we were like, why the hell all the baby powder? Like, we could not figure, like, cases and cases and cases of baby powder, and we couldn't figure it out.
The squirt guns and water guns started like ring some bells, like in my head, like remembering this is gonna be a thing.
Yeah, Yeah, and these are guns of all size, like
super soakers.
Yeah, think back to our childhood, right? Yeah, when it was okay to have a super soaker. Now, obviously, they're a little bit frowned upon. I don't think they're made anymore because people don't want people shooting guns at each other. But, you know, still a thing, still a thing. Although they are trying to get rid of them. So the first night before the chaos started, we had a very nice dinner at a place called Paper Tiger. This was on Pub Street. And so we got to sit there, eat, and observe the goings on and the foot traffic going by the restaurant. And after we had dinner, we headed out to a couple of clubs to have some drinks and dance and get our first experience with the baby powder rubbed on our faces and backs, really kind of anywhere that was appropriate to be touched by a stranger.
Yeah, and it's mentholated baby powder. It's not as though it's just like...
Yeah, well, some of it is. Some of it's just regular.
My cheeks were tingling.
Yeah. Yeah. But we still didn't understand. We're like, what's with the baby powder? What's happening? But that night we stayed out until about 3 a.m, which in hindsight, I should have saved that for another night because every night coming up was going to be a party night. But I get excited, you know, and it'd been a while since we got to dance and stay out. And so every now and then I need to do that. And that was one of those nights. So the next day, because we were pretending that we were, you know, 25 again the night before, we took it easy, relaxed by the pool. We really liked our hotel. It was just outside of the busy part of the city. Our room was very large with a nice balcony overlooking the pool. It had a huge tub on the balcony, which we did not use because it was over 100 degrees every day. Really great food options for all meals and a swim-up bar. So all in all, like a really solid hotel.
Fit like a glove.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So that night after we had our chill pool day, we headed out and it was the first night of Songkrong. And so we were heading back into town to get dinner and we saw firsthand how wet and crazy the next four nights were going to be. And we were not prepared. We had brought with us, because we, you know, you never know when you're on a boat going kayaking, whatever. So we had those waterproof phone bags with us, but we left them in the hotel. And we quickly learned that that was a big mistake because all evening we were just trying to shield our phones from getting drenched. I will say the first night was actually pretty calm. Most of the locals were more reserved with drenching us with water. They would ask you if it was okay. I think they were kind of easing us in. And so this is the only night, though, that they did this.
It was just a warm-up. Yeah, it was just a warm-up.
Yes, exactly. So as we headed into town, everybody was drenching everybody. There were buckets of water. There were hoses. There were the huge squirt guns. And, you know, they're spraying people. They're spraying the cars. They're spraying the motorbikes. They were spraying the tuk-tuks. Like, anything, everything that went past was getting drenched. And so we did take it easy that night. We ate at a local spot by the river and headed home early because the next morning we had booked a tour to go explore the ruins of Siem Reap.
So yeah, as Janneke had mentioned, Siem Reap is known for its famed Angkor Wat. And this is like this is the main reason people go to Siem Reap or Cambodia, frankly,
that's
for the most part.
That's what people think of when they think of Cambodia.
Right. And for this, we decided like, let's spend a little extra money and let's get a local guide because we didn't want to just walk the grounds of Angkor Wat with a basic understanding of like how these were built and when. We really wanted to know more in depth.
The history.
Yeah. We ended up going through TripAdvisor and getting a local guide. And it worked out really, really well. Entry into the park itself for an adult is already $37. So
if you're a tourist.
If you're a tourist, yes. So add that in. You can buy 3-day passes for $62. And then you can even buy a 7-day pass if you're planning to spend a week in this place for $72. So in our case, we said, we're going to go more than once. So let's book a 3-day package. Mm-hmm. So we went that route. Our local guide and former school teacher, Mr. Larong.
Oh, he was great.
He actually visited the hotel the night prior and sort of wanted to confirm we had all the essentials with us, which was like the obvious, you know, your suntan lotion, hat, but most importantly, the proper attire. Because Jonica and I, you know, we learned that you need to be covered.
Yeah, you're right. These are temples, right? There, you'll get into this more, but you have to make sure that you're not walking around in a tank top and shorts. That's not appropriate.
There are people who do it, but we want to.
It's not okay.
It's not respectful.
Yes.
So the next day, Mr. Larong, our awesome guide, picked us up. It was 7 o'clock a.m. Mm-hmm. And we arrived at the gates of Angkor Wat 30 minutes later. It is very close to the city of Siem Reap. We're talking 4 kilometers. Our day began at the newest and most popular temple, which is known very formally as Angkor Wat. This is what most people are familiar with. This is, you know, the one you see on postcards. It's on their flag.
It's the country flag. It's everything. But it is so much more than Angkor Wat. But Angkor Wat is the largest and the newest and the most popular.
Right. When we say new, we're still talking like, you know, 12th century, yeah. 11th century.
Yeah.
On that first day, we visited the main temples, which were Bayon Temple, Ta Prohm Temple, and then Pasat Priya Khan. These are the main go-tos.
And that's the one that's known as Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah, right? The latter.
Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider, that's where this was filmed. So this one is very different because it has all the trees growing in and out of it. And fun fact, I went as Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider 1 year for Halloween, so I felt right at home.
What a nostalgic throwback.
This was pre-you, much, much pre-you.
And to be clear, all of these temples can be reached by car, they can be reached by tuk-tuk, and you can even rent bicycles. We've sort of belabored the point, but it should be mentioned, it's hot at Angkor Wat.
So hot.
Desert hot. Like, the temps are lower in the months from November to March, but we were there in April, and it was close to 110 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, I sweat through everything, literally. I had, you know, you have to cover up.
But again, this sort of comes full circle as to the benefit of hiring a guide, because we had a minivan that had air conditioning in it and water and like a not only a driver, but then an actual guide. So it was a much appreciated reprieve every time we got out of a temple and we were able to walk into an air-conditioned van.
They gave us wet, cold towels to put on our necks and wipe off our sweat and cold water. It was a very nice indulgence that we knew it would be nice, but that was like because it was so hot, that just, it made it bearable.
Yeah, I mean, you nearly caught heat stroke.
I did.
You were in struggle mode.
I was so red. I was so hot. And my stomach wasn't happy.
You can also visit the temples at sunset, which is also very nice and picturesque, but the temperatures pretty much remain the same until like the sun goes down like an hour later. Mm-hmm. So pick your poison. Mm-hmm. One thing to note is that these temples remain serious like religious sites for Buddhists. So it does draw a lot of people from around the world to explore them, but there are still people that were coming there while we were there to pray, to leave offerings at the base of the Buddha statues and things like that. So it's still a very used, serious religious place.
Yeah, it's a religious site. There's lots of Buddha statues that people go to visit.
And because of the circumstances in which Songkran was also taking place, there were more locals than there normally is. This is what our guide had told us, is this is more busy with local people than actual tourists because of the holiday that was taking place. And it is also a free entry for Cambodians,
which is nice because it is expensive. There's
$37.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's expensive for us even. So yeah, it's nice to know that they get to go and worship and visit for free. But it was also a very interesting experience, I think, to have it be mostly locals, because I don't think that normally that's the way that it is. I think it's mostly gringos.
But yeah, fully worth the trip for going. No question.
Yep, beautiful.
After heading back to relax and cool off the afternoon at our hotel pool, you could hear that Songkran was starting to be a thing. It was in full effect. The speakers were going off. You could hear people yelling from when they got hit with water. For the next 3 nights, it was going to be very, very wet.
But before we discuss how to prep for a night out during Songkran, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
All right, we are back. This is Address Unknown, episode 18. We are talking Siem Reap, Cambodia. The celebrations of Songkran have begun, and we are prepared this time around.
Night two.
We were heading out for the night, and this time with our waterproof phone cases and a set of clothes that you are prepared to have damaged, let's say, covered in powder.
And drenched.
Drenched and covered in powder. Mm-hmm. So it's a paste that sort of forms. Cakes. Yes.
Yes, everywhere.
This is also because the streets become jam-packed with people. You are getting soaked with water through to your bones. You're covered in baby powder. You're sort of shoulder to shoulder, like, meandering with people. There's beer being thrown. It's crazy. There's live music. There's loud sound systems. It's a cerebral
it's like
wave.
Mardi Gras, I would imagine. Not that I've ever been to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, but I think it's similar.
Yeah.
But with squirt guns and baby powder.
It's a celebratory vibe, but it's very difficult to, like, mentally prep for on the first real night of it.
Mm-hmm.
We had an amazing evening, though.
Yeah, it was super fun.
We got some dancing in.
Mm-hmm.
We were drinking with a bunch of locals, all this Cambodia low alcohol volume beer. We were just eating and enjoying ourselves. It was a lot of fun, actually. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. Very wet, but very fun.
But for our sake, we were mature and adult about this. We decided we would call it quits around midnight rather than 3 a.m. And this was smart because we still had two more full nights of Songkran coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
The following day, I elected to rent a motorbike and to go explore some of the more lesser known temples that are on the outskirts of Angkor Wat.
Yeah. I did not join because for some reason my stomach was still pissed. And so when you're driving around these temples and ruins, there's not a lot of bathroom opportunities. So I just didn't feel comfortable joining that day. So I sat that one out.
Lucky for myself, at least, Mr. Larong was nice enough to actually give me like 5 recommendations for some temples that were on the outer complex, which are actually much older. As far as date of being built, and are still not yet restored. So they're still sort of in ruins to some extent. There are parts that are rebuilt, but it's very much not the Angkor Wat that you see. It's more natural, as it should be, 1,000 years later. This is also a great way to go at your own pace. That morning, I visited 3 more temples, where I was the only one, aside from a few monkeys. Again, a nice way to explore, find some solace, and to get some time away from my loving travel companion.
Mm. Yeah, we had 2 more nights of Songkran, and each night was just as wet and full of baby powder as the first two. It doesn't let up. It keeps going. You just kind of get used to it, but I think by the last night, I was definitely over it. I didn't want to be wet anymore. I didn't want to be covered in baby powder anymore.
It's really similar to like if you're in Las Vegas and like after night 2 or 3, you're kind of like,
get me out of here.
It's kind of like that.
I can't do it anymore.
It's just rough every night.
But you know, you're kind of like, what, am I just going to stay in the hotel? Like, no, I'm going to force myself to go out there and get smacked in the face with wet baby powder. So we had a great time. We partied with some locals, partied with some other tourists. And again, it is like people are out to just have a good time. And it was great. Obviously, our week was insane and shaped so immensely by Songkran. And I think that our experience, had it not been Songkran, obviously would have been very different. But I'm still very glad that we got to be there when it was going on. But I will say that I do not want to smell like baby powder ever again. We departed Cambodia for Bangkok, Thailand. This was a quick stop to visit one of Farber's old backpacking friends and also to take care of some business. It had been some time since we'd been in a larger, more modern city. I finally decided that I had to get some new clothes. It's been over 6 months of wearing the same things, so it was time to do some shopping. We were going to get our teeth cleaned, which we were both very excited about.
Look, Mom, what a plan. Get your teeth cleaned every 6 months.
We had both spent some time in Bangkok almost 20 years ago. Oddly enough, literally, we were both there almost at the same time. And so it was interesting to go back. I don't know that there hasn't been a place, I guess, that I've gone back to after that long of a period of time has lapsed. But it's changed a ton, obviously. There's a train system now. There's loads of new malls and fancy buildings. It really has become a much more modern, clean city than I remember.
It's like the economy is doing really well. People have good jobs. There's a lot of like international banking that's taking place. So it was very different than when we were there separately 20 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As Jonica mentioned, when I was a young man, not yet married, I had done some backpacking in Southeast Asia. This was back in 2005. And while there, I met another young man at the time, Oliver, who was originally from Belgium. And we hit it off right away. We continued to travel together through the country and northern Laos before settling in Isan, which is in eastern Thailand. There, we both tried to get teaching jobs. He succeeded. I did not. I had to go down south to get an English teaching job.
Which is when you guys parted ways.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. So we did keep in touch, but after 2 years, I headed back to the States and Oliver stayed in Thailand.
But he's the one that actually took you to the airport, right?
Oliver
in Bangkok to go back to the States.
That's correct. So after we went our separate ways to teach and I went to the South and he remained in the Northeast, we met up again for 3 nights in Bangkok and he literally, as a good friend does, he escorted me to the airport and saw me off to go home after my sojourn in Southeast Asia.
Yep.
Oliver made a life for himself. He now resides with Angie, his long-term partner, in Bangkok in the Phaya Thai neighborhood.
Very nice area.
Yeah, the area is fancy and yet bohemian with like, these great restaurants. There's cannabis dispensaries and cafes. Yes, yes, yes. Weed is legal in Thailand. It is the only country in that part of the world, let alone Southeast Asia, where this is tolerated.
Mark was very excited. Finally.
Okay. We stayed nearby at the Craftsman Hotel. This is a boutique hotel. It's got a great setting with an amazing pool and a modern restaurant.
It was very cute. I was very happy.
You needed this after some time.
I did.
It was also really nice. It was just great to connect with Oliver in person. We'd not seen each other in 20 years. He sounds the same. He looks the same. He looked at me and he goes, "You look exactly the same, just a little bit more gray."
To which I laughed and I said, that's really funny.
It's like nothing had really changed. You know, we left our backpacks behind and we met two wonderful, supportive women who we share our lives with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It was really cute too because Oliver has a much better memory than you do. Like, you didn't remember anything.
He knew where we met. I was like, holy shit, I forgot that.
He remembered so much stuff, and he had all of these pictures and videos of you guys, and you were like, I don't remember this. What was this? Like, you had no clue. It was really funny, and it was nice to finally get a straight story without so many holes in it, because you just can't remember anything. Your memory has never been the greatest.
Well, we're not on Freud's couch, so we don't need to talk about that. It was emotional overall. Like, it was just wonderful to like share dinners with Oliver and Angie and to like catch up with somebody after 20 years.
I think it was super cool to see, and you know, I guess that everyone hopefully has this experience where you like you're friends with someone you don't talk for a very long time, or even like your friends that you don't talk to all that often or you don't get to see that often, and then you just like fall into that groove really easily and everything is just like, it's not painful, it's not a struggle to have a conversation, and that's like, that's apparent that that's how it was with you guys, which was very nice to see.
Oh, so good to see him. Anyway.
Yeah. So it was really nice being back in Bangkok, a large modern city again, meeting Oliver and Angie. It was fun to hang out with some friends, you know, not just Tef Farber to talk to. I realized how much I missed easy, nice public transportation. And Bangkok is just, it's that now. We had sushi. I got my nails and hair done. We went shopping. I realize every now and then I need a city break. I need to be in a city. And so that fulfilled that need for me. But we were there for only a short time. After 5 very quick days, we were on our way again, heading to India. Let's take a quick break before we get into our love and learn for our week in both Cambodia and Thailand. Okay, and we are back. Our loves and learns for either Cambodia or Thailand. Farber, what's your love?
All right, starting off here, my love for this one happened, this was in Cambodia, but part of Songkran is that there's all these beer promotions that take place during this time. And my love was that there's two kinds of beer in Cambodia, the predominant ones. Both have these promotions where you pull off the lid, like it's an old school beer can where you, it's not like a soda can or a beer can now in the United States where you open it up and it stays there. You sort of pull it off like a sardine can kind of, is that?
It's a tab.
It's a tab.
It's how cans used to be.
Yes. Like back in like the 60s, 70s.
Sure.
I think probably 80s it stopped.
Yeah.
But so you pull this tab back and it reveals a prize. And so, for example, you can win like a free can of beer, which means you can bring it to the retailer, any retailer, mm-hmm. and they will sell you another can for 10 cents. It has to be warm. It can't be refrigerated. I tried that. I tried to get a cold beer and I got shot down.
You also can't bring it to like a street vendor. Like you have to go to a store.
Like a Circle K or a 7-Eleven or something.
Yeah.
Or some offer money, like a money voucher on the tab as well you can win. I won $10 off one, mm-hmm. Of which I gave half of that to a child who was collecting cans one night on Songkran, and then I reinvested the remaining $5 in more cans of beer.
Well, yeah, because we were at a communal table where everybody was just buying like tons of beer, so we just were contributing to the kitty. But the best part was we didn't know that that was a thing, the tops. I remember the first night, like the kid came running over after we opened the beers, and he like took the tops like off the table because we had no idea.
I had no clue there was...
We can't read.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes. It is in Khmer. It is not in English that says you've won a 10-cent beer. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, yeah, the kid's going around collecting them, and we're like, yeah, we don't need these. And lo and behold, the sweepstakes, I was so happy to learn about when we found out. So it's just fun. It's something you never get to experience in the U.S. We have something similar, like Monopoly sweepstakes, but that's not free beer.
I don't think that's a thing anymore either.
Well, there's some sort of sweepstakes on fast food deals, right? No?
I have no clue.
Anyway, but it never would happen with an alcohol company, right? Like, it's never like you soda bottles, you twist off the top, and it's like, oh, you get like a free Mountain Dew.
Who used to? I remember like Dr. Pepper used to do that.
Yeah, but it's not a free beer.
It's not. I mean, I couldn't drink beer at the time either, though, so I don't know. Maybe they did that.
It's a beautiful love.
Anyway, what's your learn?
My learn in this case, and I did not know this, we should have done the homework, but there are more sites to see in addition to, but not instead of Angkor Wat. So I would say if you're visiting Southeast Asia, it's worth the flight to see these ruins, right? This seems obvious, but my first go around 20 years ago, I skipped it. I skipped the entire region, and it was a big regret, honestly. So like, make a point of doing it if you're there. Tour the main temple early, then get out and explore the other ones if you got time. It's a large area, and you shouldn't limit yourself to a single day. At least go 2 days.
Yeah.
Or we'll all in and go 7 days if you're really into history of Khmer ruins.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a lot.
Okay.
Don't do it in April.
Don't do too much. Too much. 7 days is too much for Jonica.
Too hot.
All right, dear. And what is your love?
I loved the energy of the people during Songkran. Everybody was so happy and excited and celebrating to the umpteenth degree. Like we mentioned earlier, we ended up one night at this table and it had a bunch of locals, like locals from Siem Reap and locals from Phnom Penh who had come into town. This guy Natural from Brownsville, oddly, like was there.
Brooklyn.
Yep, Brooklyn. So it was just like this amalgamation of people and everyone was just so happy. People would go off and buy snacks and just bring them to the table and buy bags of beer and drinks, and like there's not a lot of bathrooms, and so one of the women like brought you to her hotel to let you like use the restroom there. Like it was just really this like sharing, caring, giving atmosphere. It was, I don't know, it was this incredible street party that I've never experienced before. And so it was just fun to like just hang out with people. And even if they didn't speak English very well, it was just like we were all there to have a good time and hang out together and be merry.
That's cute.
It was fun.
That's cute. I was just pulling tabs for the fun of it off those beer cans. It was just so much fun. It was like, it was low risk gambling. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Aside from that, what, dear, closing us out here, what was your learn?
I learned that I hate the smell of baby powder. No, I do, but that's not really my learn. It was to go back to a place after almost 20 years that Bangkok is almost nothing like I remember it. She is a huge city, 11.2 million people. So I don't know if it was because the last time that I went, I was coming from Minneapolis, which obviously is much smaller, much, much smaller. And instead this time, you know, after having lived in New York for 11 years, like, you know, a much bigger city, if I just had a different viewpoint, if the city has changed that much,
you've matured,
I've changed that much, it's probably all of those things.
You've taken in more experiences in your life and you can handle the stress of like
a big city now. I crave it.
Yeah.
But, you know, no matter what the reason is, I learned that it's good to go back places. I think after a long period of time has passed to see the transition, because I think you not only see the transition in the place, but also in yourself.
Cute.
Why am I just cute today? You make it like, okay. That was deep. Come on, that wasn't cute.
Very emotional.
Oh my God. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. A shorter one because it was a shorter time period. Just a quick jaunt to Cambodia and a quick jaunt to Thailand.
Makes sense.
Up next, we are going to be talking about our time in India. There is a lot to unpack here when it comes to this very complicated country.
If I recall the best phrase we heard from our driver was, in this place, they don't say excuse me.
No. And how many times do people say, it's complicated.
It's complicated, that place.
And it is. It very much is. So you'll hear about that next. But until then, bye. Bye.